God is so good to us. I can speak for myself. God is so good to me. I'm so thankful for his son and the sacrifice he paid on the cross for my sins. My sins that put him on that cross. It should have been me there. The Lord sent his son, Jesus Christ, lovingly, knowing exactly who I'd be and what I would do, took those sins upon himself and hung on that cross for me, that I would have a way to be welcomed into righteousness, be welcomed into heaven. I'm so thankful for that. I'm blessed every day. God is so good to me. The fact that I was born and raised in the United States of America, we can sit and discuss the direction we're going in the country, and it doesn't look great. Nevertheless, I still believe we're the greatest country in the world, with many privileges and many things in our lives that other countries would love to have. People that are living out in the middle of no man's land, some of these countries have no amenities whatsoever. It's easy in America to take for granted that we have running water, both hot and cold, flushing toilets, grocery stores with not just a few choices of food, but 30 choices of each choice. We are so blessed. I'm so thankful for everything God does in my life. I'm thankful for those he puts in my life. I'm thankful for this church and the people in it. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for those people that God puts in my life and the opportunities he gives me just to be around people and to be in it. I think of even just yesterday, I was working on my car. Started Friday night, didn't finish till Saturday afternoon, and there were some frustrating points, but I was thankful for it. Those of you who heard me mention my friend Ed, pray for him. He is unsaved, but he is a great man. I want to see him get saved so badly. But he is such a blessing to me. He is always willing to come over and help me when I get stumped on a car issue, and always makes me look like a dummy because the thing I can't fix, he fixes in 3.5 minutes. But I'm thankful for him. But I'm thankful because, if I didn't have those issues and I didn't get to a point where I had a bolt that was seized up, there wouldn't be a reason for him to come over at that point and for me to spend some time with him. And to be able to be an influence on him. So even through those things that seem like they're a nuisance and seem like they're a pain, God bless us through it. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the way God knows better than me. He knows better what to do with my day than I do. Sometimes I think that every day I'm supposed to light the world on fire for God. And if I didn't do something amazing for God, I failed. But in reality, God said, no, I just want you to sit here and try for 5 hours, loosen this bolt till you give up. And you call Ed, and he comes over, and you get to spend some time with him. And I'm thankful for the way God works those things out in our lives. And I'm thankful to be in church this morning. Beautiful day. I say it all the time, and I'm going to say it again. I look forward to every single service. I love being here. We do not dread coming here. We look forward to it. When we're not in church, we talk about wanting to be in church. We love this church. We love the people here. We love our pastor and his family. And we love that we get to come in a place, open his word, and hear his word preached, and that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it will pierce your heart, it'll show you exactly who you are, and exactly how to get to God and walk with him. And I am so thankful for his word this morning. All right, with that, I'm going to invite you, if you would, stand with me. We're going to turn to page 292. We are going to sing Surely Goodness and Mercy. We are going to sing this one out of the Lord a cappella this morning. page 393, Take My Life and Let Me.
Church today. Glad to serve my Savior. Amen. So just for announcements for those that are going to be taking part in the public outreach down at Fairless Hills, if you need a ride, please let me know. I'll be leaving around 3 p.m. on Tuesday. Please pray for us. We're going to head down to Fairless Hills, down to Brother Jim and Miss Donna to do some public outreach down there near their home. So if anybody's interested in going, please let me know. But we'll be leaving out at 3 o'clock on Tuesday to head down there. Also, this morning, for those men that are members of the church, we'll be having a quick little meeting here this morning after the morning service. And then also next week, Mr. Jim Bush requested a men's meeting. So next week, September 4th, after the morning service, Brother Jim will be meeting with the men on that service. And then the following, or 2 weeks after that, September 11th, he requested also another meeting with the men. So three of them coming up, one this morning, and then two with Mr. Jim, September 4th and the 11th. Also, pray for us on Thursday as well as we try to reach Allentown with public outreach from 6 to 7 over on Union and Airport. I think the Lord's blessing these endeavors. I have an opportunity to talk with people, hand out tracts, and try to get people to think about their souls and where they're going to spend eternity. So please pray for us. If you can't make it out, please pray for us that God would just deal souls and that individuals to see their need before it's eternally too late. Also, I wanted to put out this for everybody that's here that's a member of the church. I've been praying about this for a while. Certain questions have come up and different things. And I believe this is what the Lord's having me to do. So I want to revamp our Sunday school program here at this church. Now, this is just for the members here. So if anybody's interested, now I'm going to say this, I want you to go to the Lord in prayer about it. If the Lord lays upon your heart and you're interested, we're going to have a little meeting coming up in probably 2 weeks, okay? So I want to put this out there to every member of Ray Street Baptist Church, men and women, if you are interested in Sunday school, I'm going to revamp it, okay? Now, if you're interested in the Sunday school program, I pray that you're also interested in public outreach to try to get the kids to maybe come to church. I want you to have a heart for kids, not just because you just think it's something that needs to be done, but that God's laid it on your heart and you have a burden for children, not just the children that are, obviously we have two children that we have right now in the church, And people ask, well, do you have a heart for kids? I have a heart for kids, but I'm only one person.
That's right.
I can only be in so many places at one time. I'm trying to be out there doing things for God, but I'm also trying to spend time in prayer and preparing for messages as well. So sheep need sheep to reproduce. So pray for that. Pray about it. God's laid it upon your heart to have a heart for kids, not only the kids that are within the church, but also a desire to try to reach the children that are outside the church. There's a bunch of kids right around here. I haven't seen them in a while, but we're willing to try to get an opportunity with them, myself. So I want this to be a burden God's put on you. Because this is what I don't want, brethren. This is what I try not to do as a pastor. I tried to not do this as a pastor. I've tried to do it since 20 years I've been saved. Every time I get asked to preach or preach, I try not to get a canned message. Though some of you might think I call 1-800-GOT-SERMON.com. I don't do that. Right? I try to get alone with God for every service we have and what he lays on my heart, up to the point I walk up here if God wants to change it. And I have nothing wrong with Sunday school curriculums. Don't get me wrong on this now. But I think sometimes we fall into the curriculum rather than having a heart for it. And I'm not saying anybody here is guilty of that. Please understand, I'm not saying that. I'm saying sometimes we can just go through the motions because this is just what the curriculum says. Well, maybe God wants you to go to a different direction with those kids in the morning. And I want you to have that walk with God to do so if God says to do so. Because that's why we're here. We're here to do as God leads, guides, and directs in every moment of our life. So keep that in prayer. In 2 weeks, we'll probably meet about that. Anybody that's interested, let me know. I'll put your name on a list. And we'll get together after one of these services and meet downstairs and just discuss some things that are on my heart. So we try to reach this community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only Catasauqua, but Allentown, Bethlehem, and also maybe even over in the Easton. So keep that in prayer. Amen. All right, brother. I'm going to finish up here singing.
All right. This next song is always a little hard for me to sing. It reminds me of a dear brother in the Lord that has since gone on to be with the Lord. This was his favorite song to sing. So it's always hard for me to sing it. I miss him dearly. But I was talking this morning about being thankful for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. This next song we're going to sing is page 113, The Old Rugged Cross. So we can remember what was done on that cross, but also remember he's not there anymore. He's not in the grave anymore. He's has victory over sin and death for us. But let's never forget about what he did on that cross for us. Let's sing out to the Lord for his glory, page 113, The Old Rugged Cross.
Where the tears and deaths for a world.
think about what this says. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. Hear what this next part says. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary.
Amen. Hey!
Don't forget what Jesus Christ gave up for us. The next verse says, in the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me.
Thank you.
I know this isn't the King James Bible here, but these words stir me. I do not deserve what Jesus Christ did on that cross for me. Not one bit. I am so thankful that because of Jesus Christ, I know I can stand here assured that I'm saved, that I'm righteous before the eyes of the Lord. I'm so thankful for what he did on that old rugged cross. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you for those hymns. Thank you, brother, for singing, Ellie, for playing. I want to read this to you this morning. Helps for meditating on God. John Owen, 1616 to 1683. He wrote six things here, and he says, choose a time that is free from all worldly concerns. The best time is that which will cost you something. We must not at any time seek to serve God with what costs us nothing. Nor must we dedicate any time that does not demand self-denial. We must not expect to grow spiritually mindedness if we only give to God time for worship when we have nothing else to do, or those times when because of tiredness we are not fit for anything. This is one reason why men are so cold, formal, and lifeless in spiritual duties. When the body and mind are tired, men think they are fit to come to God to learn about those great matters that concern his glory and the salvation of their souls. Yet this is what God condemns in Malachi 1:8. Both the law of nature and holy duties require that we serve God with our very best. Shall we offer to him that time and that we would be unfit to appear before an earthly ruler? You see, some men show more dignity and respect for a governor or a president or for their own job than they do the things of God. Or I'll even say families. I'll say this again, brethren. Family doesn't come before God. I love you this morning. I'm telling you, brethren, we're missing something today. This is 1616. And this man's writing this. Yet such are the times of men choose for their devotions. We may do well to stop here for a moment and think of the time we have in the past offered to God as a freewill offering, so that we may be shamed into doing better in the future. The best time is when the natural strength of the Spirit is most free and active. Do not trust to chance opportunities. Let the time itself be a freewill offering to God, taken from the top of the heap. Let it be the best time possible. And he's got six other things or five other things he's written in here. But again, this book can be found back there. My meditation of him shall be sweet. We've lost power because we've lost God. We've lost the meditation on it. Do we just come to church because it's just what we're supposed to do and go through the motions? Then God will not be involved in that. God requires the very best. And you can't offer God seconds. Read the Old Testament. The sacrifices of God were pretty specific. God would not accept just any old sacrifice on his altars. And I'm afraid today many Christians are just giving God their leftovers or a little bit of their time when God determines to have all. Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to continue on in our study. If you can stand for me for the reading of God's Word. If you're able to stand, 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we're going to continue on our study with Jehoshaphat here, one of the kings of Judah. And we're looking at this in a sense of how things were allowed to creep into the temple in the very final days of Judah as a nation, and how the temple was found in Jerusalem, which was part of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. And Jehoshaphat was one of those kings to that line there of David and Solomon. And we've been looking at Jehoshaphat for a while now. But here in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we see here in verse number 1, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to the house in peace to Jerusalem." The Bible says in verse number 2, "And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" You see, here we find a problem. You see, in the previous chapter, Jehoshaphat was doing good. The previous two chapters, he was doing good. He picked up after his father Asa. He started clearing out the things in the groves and the high places. He's trying to bring the nation of his two tribes back to worshiping the true God like they ought. But he finds himself in trouble in the previous chapter because he joins himself to Ahab and finds an affinity with a man that hates God, in essence. And now he's getting rebuked by the prophet Hanani. And this prophet says to Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray right now that you clear our hearts, you clear our minds. Lord, you clear our thoughts. Help us to receive, help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive what's contained in this blessed book. I thank you for my Bible. I thank you for those precious saints that went before to give it to me today. And so, Lord, I pray I wouldn't take it for granted, Lord, but I'd spend time in it. So help us now as we open these pages, Lord, to learn from King Jehoshaphat, and Lord, apply it to our own personal lives. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So Jehoshaphat gets rebuked here. He gets rebuked by Hanani. "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." We find kind of the same thing happening to King Asa in the previous chapters, which was Jehoshaphat's father. But Asa didn't heed the warning of the prophet. Rather, he got bitter towards the prophet and cast him into the prison house. And he was diseased in his feet and he never recovered from it. Now, I don't know if Jehoshaphat learned from his daddy. I believe personally that he did. Because here, Jehoshaphat also receives a rebuke. Jehoshaphat, I believe Jehoshaphat's got a good heart on him. But his good heart has led him to spend time with people he ought not to spend time with. To join affinity with people he ought not to join affinity with. Because the reason he shouldn't join affinity with them is because if he continues to spend time with those people that don't truly love God and want to serve God, it's not only going to affect him and his walk, but it's going to affect his kids. And we see this as we go further through this study on these kings, that it really doesn't affect Jehoshaphat much, his affinity with Ahab, but it definitely affects his kids after him. One of his kids ends up marrying one of Ahab's children, and they go downhill from there. So we have to be careful today with what time and affinity what affinities we have with as we walk out these doors, and who we spend time with, because who we spend time with will affect our Christian walk. Whether we realize it or not, so often it's so subtle and takes so long before you know it. Years down the road, you're doing things that you never would have done when you first got saved, because you've joined affinity with this world. Jesus said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing." How many Christians today are touching unclean things? And you touch unclean things. Use Brother Craig again as an example, because he says it all the time. He prays, and when he's preached, we tend to then go down the slippery slope of compromise. And that's exactly what happens in this situation. But the good thing about Jehoshaphat is it says in verse number 4, and Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. Do you see that? Jehoshaphat takes the rebuke. The Bible says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 6:23. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Jehoshaphat takes the reproof. He takes the rebuke from this prophet, this seer, and he doesn't go off and pout about it and say like his daddy, woe is me, or get angry about it. He takes the reproof and he goes forward with his walk with God, so much so that he goes out through the countryside from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And what that shows me is that they had departed from the Lord God of their fathers. They've departed from God, and now Jehoshaphat's going out and trying to bring them back to the way God desired it to be. Verse number 5. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Basically, Jehoshaphat goes out through the lands, and he begins to set up judges. And he gives these judges warning on how they ought to judge the people. You see, King Jehoshaphat can't be in every place at every time to judge the matters of the kingdom. So he sets up judges out there, and they're to judge these situations. But he gives some rules to them, and he says, fear the Lord. There's no iniquity of the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Basically, don't take bribes, judge righteously. Even if you know the person and they're your best friend and they've done wrong, tell them they've done wrong and deal with them. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Tell your friends, if you have to judge your friends, you have no respect or persons. Judge them like you would judge any other person, righteously according to God's law. Verse number 8. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set up of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the priests. The chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they return to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. And so wrath is come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters, also the Levites shall be officers before you. And look what he says lastly. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with you. You see, throughout these verses here, Jehoshaphat not only prepares his heart to seek the Lord, but he goes about to set up his kingdom to do the same. You see, Jehoshaphat's not discouraged, nor does he rebel when he's rebuked by the Lord. Yea, rather, he sets himself toward a closer walk with God. He sets up judges. He sets up priests and Levites and the chief of their fathers to help in these matters of judgments, controversies, and instruction so that they do not trespass the Lord and thus incur his wrath. You see, Jehoshaphat is a wise man. He realizes and he's seen some things and he says, listen, I've got to set this thing up in my kingdom. I don't want to incur the wrath of God upon my kingdom. And what he sees here is he's seen from the past and what was done in the past and how God judged in the past. And Jehoshaphat says, you know what? I'm going to prepare my heart to seek God and to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And thus he realizes, I can't do this alone. I need help. And so he goes throughout the kingdom and he sets up judges. And he says, listen, controversies come in. This is how I want you to handle it. Walk in the fear of God and handle it justly. He goes up and sets up the priests and the chief fathers and the Levites. He says, listen, these are your duties. Do them courageously. Why? Why does he say that last verse there? Because you're going to want to give in the compromise. Because sometimes it's hard to judge hard matters. It's not easy if you have the right heart and spirit to rebuke someone. That's not an easy thing to do. But Jehoshaphat tells his leaders there, deal courageously and the Lord shall be with you. This morning, for a few moments this morning, I'd like to talk to you about leadership. I'd like to talk to you about leadership. How is this done by the leadership? I want to pull out a few things from verses 5 through 11, looking at leadership this morning. It is vital, number one, that those in positions of leadership, that they're just and that they fear God. Take your Bible and look at 2 Samuel 23, verse number 3. Take your Bible, look at 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 3. Leadership. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 3. Now before I read these verses, as we're going on and we're looking at leadership this morning, I don't want the ladies to fall asleep on this, because God requires ladies to be leaders as well. And I'll give you a perfect example. The Sunday school classroom. Any teaching that a young woman is to do or an older woman is to do with young children, that's a leadership position. They're looking up to you as an authority. And you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a message for everyone. This is a message for those that have families. Leadership. Any position that God might put you in to where you might be influencing someone else and them looking at you in that, such a, in that sense. So these things are necessary in those that are in positions to where they lead and direct and instruct others. 2 Samuel 23, verse number 3 says this, the God of Israel, the Rock of Israel, spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling how? In the fear of God. You know why we got issues today in our Supreme Court? They don't fear God no more. You know why we have issues in our regular court systems that's all around about us? There's no fear of God. You rule in the fear of God. Realizing that with what judgment you judge, it's going to be come back on you. It's a serious matter where God puts you in a place of leadership. I think positions of leadership and positions of preaching and teaching and those types of things are good because it helps you to examine yourself and your walk with God daily. Listen, I've had to examine myself more that I'm a pastor than when I was just a church member. Because when I was a church member, I didn't have to come up behind here and teach and preach every time. And so I could just go through my life at times and just wing it because I don't have no responsibilities. And how many Christians today just wing it because there's no responsibility? Well, I'm just a member in a church. I just come to church and I just sit here and I really don't have no dealings in the church. So the tendency could be to where it creeps into where you just wing it because there's no accountability. I believe there ought to be accountability. I believe if you're a member of this church, and I'll say this now, and I don't know how Pastor Gary preached it or what he believed on it, but I believe if you're a member of this church, you need to be in all church services. Amen. And if I could go through and change the bylaws on that thing, I would. If you're a member of the church, you ought to be in church, and barring sickness or some emergency, please understand what I'm saying, or if I understand if you got a job and your job sometimes requires you, like emergency jobs when I was a trooper, I believe God was allowing me to be a trooper, there was times I could, I understand that. So outside of those situations, if you're just staying home because you're tired, no. Unless you're about to fall asleep because you're working night shift, that's a whole different story now. Whole different story. But if you just got up at 6 in the morning, you work till 5 in the afternoon, and you're like, you know what, I'm just too tired, I'm not going to church tonight. No. You say you shouldn't say that. Well, I've been there, brethren. I've been there to where I've been driving 3 to 4 hours a day just driving to work, then work, and going to get my master's degree at the same time having 4 kids at home and a wife, and at the same time trying to take part in every activity the church had. And there have been many times I come to church and I was tired. There have been many times I come home from work and didn't want to go to church, but I knew I needed to be in church. Brethren, we show God what we think of the Lord by our church attendance. And again, I understand, like you take Dave, Mr. Dave and Miss Virginia. I was out there with them yesterday. God bless them and God help them. He got messed up pretty good from that fall. I had a good time out there with them the other day. And Brother Dave told me, Miss Virginia told me, they said, we wish the days where we could be in church, because they were in church. According to them, they were in church every time the doors were open. And it breaks their heart now that they can't be in church when the doors are open. Brethren, please hear me this morning. What do we put before God? See, you're not going to have to give an account to me someday. You say, this is just Brother Chris's hobby horse. No, it's not my hobby horse. It's Bible. When we come to church, we meet to worship Jesus Christ. Right now, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. Right now, the Lord is looking at what we're doing. That's Bible, Proverbs 15:3. What does it say to the Lord where I say, Lord, I'm going to stay home because I got family I got to deal with, but God, you'll understand. No, God will not understand. Because if you want to help your family, you got to be willing to put God first, because you might not never see the help to come to your family because you're not putting God first. I'm serious on that, brethren. I'm dead serious on that. I'm more than dead serious on it. It's with him we have to do someday. And if you got your excuses, because God knows, I don't know your heart, but God knows why you don't come sometimes. You're not going to have to tell God those reasons. Or you're not going to tell me those reasons. Someday you're going to tell God those reasons if you're saved. Well, Lord, this is the reason why I wasn't on church today. This is the reason. And we'll see then at that day if he'll understand why and if it was a valid excuse. I'm just here to help and to try to encourage you. Because like we said in the Sunday school hour, you're not planted in the house of God, you're not going to be able to flourish. Now some may say, well, I don't care to flourish. Well then, okay, but there's a judgment day. Jehoshaphat has this idea. Jehoshaphat realized, I don't want to incur God's wrath upon me. And one of the reasons sometimes today I question a lot of, I have concern, do you get chastised? Does the wrath of God incur upon you because you're not doing what you should be doing for him? Hebrews chapter 12, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Does it bother you sometimes when you're not doing the things you know you need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or can you just get by with it and nothing happens? Jehoshaphat goes through and he says, listen, if you're going to have leadership, if you're going to have rulers, David says here, and these are David's last words. David said in Psalm 20, or Samuel 23, verse 3, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Now let me ask you a question this morning. This is a serious question. I'm not being funny when I ask that. But if all of a sudden we were having a gospel band in here on Wednesday night, there might be more people here Wednesday night because we had a gospel band in. More people would pay, they do pay, to go to a Gaither concert, but they won't be in church when the doors are open. Let me ask you this question. If I were to tell you that this Wednesday night Jesus Christ was going to be here in our services, would you show up? If Jesus Christ was going to be here Wednesday night, would you be here? If Jesus Christ was going to be in his church next Sunday at 4 a.m., would you be here? Would you wake up for that? But there's a lot of men that wake up at 4 a.m. to go hunting. They'll go try to go out there and sit in a deer stand. They'll go out there and sit. He knows what I'm talking. They'll go out there and sit in a deer stand at 4 o'clock in the morning, freezing their tail off, or so hot mosquitoes are all around them, looking for Bambi. And they might work till 10 o'clock that night. But by God's help, I'm going to go out there and hunt 4 o'clock in the morning. But if all of a sudden the preacher said the doors will be open at 4 o'clock in the morning for prayer, would that same man show up? Well, I'm tired. You weren't too tired to go hunting. You see, we'll make excuses for those things that suit us. And a lot of times we'll just put God, we'll fit God into our schedule rather than God being our schedule. And you say, preacher, why aren't people getting saved? Why aren't the churches filled? Where are the young people? Where are the children? Where is the church? Well, I'd like to see young people in this church. So would I. I'd like to see little kids running around. So would I. But the kids are only going to put as much emphasis on the church as you do. Well, if mom and dad don't go to church here and they're going to stay home with me tonight, why should I go when they ask me? They don't put that much emphasis on it. And don't tell me kids don't think that way. The kids are going to put as much emphasis on God as you do. And they're going to see what you say is important, and that's what they're going to consider to be important. I speak as a fool this morning. I speak as a fool. Like Paul spoke as a fool. But as of today, all four of my children are in church. I speak as a fool now. I'm not trying to lift myself up. But I tried to hammer my kids' heads from the time they were born. Church doors open, you be there. And so far, by God's grace, they are. But I tried to put the emphasis there. Why? Because that's what my pastor said and the Word of God said to put the emphasis on. Church. Coming together to grow in the things of God. Brethren, Jehoshaphat sees these needs. You see, leadership must depart from evil and desire the wisdom that comes from God alone. Job 28:28 says this, "And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Proverbs 4:7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." It goes on to say in Proverbs, "To buy the truth and sell it not." But it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. And a lot aren't willing to pay the cost. They're just winging it. God, brethren, I don't want to get home to heaven someday and the Lord look at me and say, "You just wung it. You just did what you pleased. You're saved. You're home to heaven now. But I wish you'd have done more for me." I don't want to hear those words someday. You see, one thing's certain. At some point, all of us in this room, barring the Lord coming back for us and for His church, all of us in this room at some point are going to take our last breath. And we're crossing over. And there's no reset button. There's no second chance. There's no like, "Oh Lord, let me go back and try this over again." No, now's the day to settle in our hearts. Are you going to continue to give yourself to the world, or are you going to give your whole heart to God? And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about for those that are saved. God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Lord, I'm willing to work where you want me to work in order for me to be able to serve you and do your will. Most people aren't willing to go that far. I'm here to encourage you this morning to go that far. If I step on your toes, I don't mean to step on your toes. But I want us to draw closer to God. But I'm here to tell you, those that have a desire to draw close to God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something, just like I read in that book of meditation. It's going to cost you something. Leadership must have a desire to receive instruction from the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," or beginning of knowledge, "but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 1:29-30 says, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, they would none of his counsel, they despised all his reproof." That's wisdom crying out in Proverbs chapter 1. And wisdom says about those that wisdom tried to reach that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. You see, you choose to fear God. You choose to fear God. We're not Calvinists this morning. We have a free will to choose what we want to do. And God's not going to force anything upon us because he's a gentleman. God's not going to force you to read your Bible. God's not going to force you to pray. God's not going to force you to meditate upon His Word. God's not going to force you to come to church. You have to choose to do those things. But in choosing to do those things, you show God your love to Him. Those of you who are married, what if you decided to take a few days off from your marriage and just not come home? Well, I'm just going to do what I want to do these 3 days, and I've been with you 4 days. You wouldn't miss me these next 3 days. There's no husband or wife in their right mind that would put up with that. Imagine if you come home to your wife or your wife come home to you and says, you know, honey, I've been thinking about these things. We've kind of been spending a lot of time together, actually 30 or 40 years. And you know what? I think I'm going to take a 2 or 3 month break and just go and do my own thing. No. Or we come in and say, you know what, honey, this coming Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, I'm just going to go away and just do my thing. But I don't worry, I'll be back Saturday. But I'm just going to take these next 3 days off from our relationship here because I just need some me time. Any wife or husband in their right mind would get offended at that. But thus we do with our Lord. And to my shame, at times in my own personal life, brethren, Jehoshaphat sets up leadership that they can get back to the things of God, that they have a fear of God, lest they incur his wrath. You see, leadership that fears the Lord, please understand this morning now, there's some things that come from fearing God. Strong confidence. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14, verse 26. Well, preacher, I struggle with maybe giving somebody a track. I get embarrassed. Well, that's because you don't have strong confidence. And understand what I say here. Sometimes our flesh does not want to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ because of our own pride in our life, or we're scared to do so. But look what Proverbs 14, verse 26 says. What the Bible says here, in the fear of the Lord is what? Strong confidence. And his children shall have a what? A place of refuge. In the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to what? To depart from the snares of death. In the fear of God, those that walk in the fear of God ought to be given strong confidence to live for their God and Savior. You see, when you have a proper fear of God, God will then instill into you strong confidence, and that is what's needed in leadership. Leadership needs to have strong confidence. Why? Because they'll get discouraged and fearful by the giants that they're going out there to face. Be of good courage and strengthen your heart. How many times do we find that in the Bible? You know what the definition of confidence means? Or the word confidence means? It means a trust or a reliance, an assurance of mind or firm belief in the integrity, stability, or veracity of another, or in the truth and reality of a fact. You know, when you have a fear of God, you'll have strong confidence in knowing that no matter what the Lord puts you through, he'll see you through it because your confidence is in him. He is your rock. He is your stay. He is your refuge. And that confidence grows stronger no matter how hard the waves beat upon you or how loud the waves blow. You know why a lot of Christians crumble during times of trials, tribulations, and persecutions? They don't have a proper fear of God, thus not having strong confidence. You see, brethren, these things are all linked together. We just cannot wing it in our Christian life and expect to make it to the other side successfully. We might make it to the other side, but I don't want to go home in dishonor. I want to go home here and well done, thou good and faithful servant. Leadership that fears the Lord also will be giving knowledge on to where snares are set by the enemy. We find that there in verse 27, which I read. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. For what purpose? To depart from the snares of death. What leads to death? What is the wages of sin? Death. This will keep you from the snares of death. This will keep you from sin that's trying to creep in and the wiles of the devil. You see, the devil is trying to get you caught in the snares of death, caught in the snares of a sin, thus destroying your walk with God. Breaking down that strong confidence, and then you quit. The Bible says, I believe in Proverbs, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Why would your strength be small? Because your fear of God is not where it needs to be, and having strong confidence in him. because you fell prey to the snares of death. Another thing about leadership is they must be faithful. Leadership must be faithful. Psalm 12:1 says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Are you more faithful to your work and your job than you are to church? Are you more faithful to your family and friends than you are to the Lord Jesus Christ? The psalmist says in chapter 12, verse 1, David says, "Help, Lord." You see, the same problem occurred in the Old Testament with David. David says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." There's not a lot of godly men out there, David's saying to the Lord. And David goes on to say to the Lord, "For the faithful fail from among the children of men." David says, "Lord, help, because I need some faithful men, some faithful and godly individuals that are willing to serve you and fear you, Lord." 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, Paul says to the church there at Corinth, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:17, the same chapter says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church." Paul tells Timothy later on in chapter 1, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You know why we got a lot of men today that I wonder if they ought to be in the ministry? They've gone and completed some course of study that some men that have put together, the men that developed the test, they passed the men's test, and then they come out of that situation thinking that I can now go into the ministry. But my question to those men would be, did God call you? Because Paul tells Timothy, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord," Paul's referring to himself, "who enabled me." You see, our education doesn't enable us. It might help us with some things, but my preacher said this a few weeks ago, and I thought, we've got more knowledge today than we've ever had on the things of God. We've got more people in churches today that know doctrine inside and out. We got more Christians today that know prophecy better than Christians 400 or 500 years ago had any idea on. We have all this intellect and biblical knowledge, but we lack complete power that they used to have 400 years ago. We got all the knowledge and intellect and wisdom, no power. Back 400 years ago, they didn't have much knowledge, intellect, and wisdom because there weren't many Bibles floating around because it was a very precious thing in those days, but they had power with God. Brethren, God's not concerned with your intellect, because nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ will get done by your intellect. God's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God's chosen the weak things, the things that are base, to confound the wise. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching, because to this world, I look foolish this morning. The foolishness of preaching. Paul says to Timothy, "Jesus Christ enabled me, for that he counted me what? Faithful." This principle backs up exactly what I'm talking about with coming to church. Jesus Christ knows whether you're faithful or not. You see, my dear friend, you're not going to have to give an account to me of your faithfulness someday. You're going to have to give an account to Jesus Christ someday for your faithfulness to him. Paul says he's counted me faithful, which means he's watching. Jesus Christ is watching, and he watched Paul, and he realized Paul was faithful, and he put him into the ministry because of his faithfulness to the things of God. Not only does leadership have to be faithful, they must serve the Lord with a perfect heart. They must also know how to keep rank. You see, in 1 Chronicles 12:38, the Bible says, "All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over Israel, and all the rest of Israel were of one heart to make David king." We need to know, as leadership needs to know their proper place. It is improper It is improper in the military for a sergeant to bust into the base commander's office and say, why did you do something like that? Oh, no, you don't do those things. You see, if you have a proper structure as far as the military goes, you have those that know how to keep rank and do those things that God has committed to them. You see, we have a lot of Christianity today that's worried about their brother over there or their sister over there rather than worried about their own orders in their own life coming from God. Take your Bible and look at John 21. John chapter 21 and look at verse number 20. John 21, verse number 20. This part of Scripture has always made me laugh as I read it. But I find myself that I fall prey to it often as well. But look at John chapter 21, verse number 20. John 21, verse number 20. Peter here is talking with, or Jesus is talking with Peter here in this portion of Scripture. And the Lord said, or Peter says here in chapter 21, verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? John to ask that question to Jesus. And then Peter says in verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Peter just got done being dealt with by the Lord. This conversation's coming to an end. He sees John walking by, the one that asked Jesus who it would be that would betray him. And Peter looks at Jesus and says to him, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus tells him in verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I wilt that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The Lord Jesus Christ looks at Peter and says, Peter, don't worry about John. Don't worry about my relationship with God, John, how I direct and lead and guide John. John's path is different than your path, Peter. Peter, you just follow me. Don't worry about John. But you see, Peter was worried about, what about this man? What's this man going to do? And how many of us today are we don't even think about ourselves, but we're quick to look at, well, what about this man? They're not doing what they should be doing. And it's almost as if the Lord says, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. You just be concerned to do what you need to do.
That's it.
Right? And good leadership realizes that. Good leadership realizes I'm to be concerned with my orders, and am I following out the orders that were given to me from my commander up there in heaven? And if I'm fulfilling my orders, then I'm good. I don't need to be worried about others around me. I'm doing what he wants me to do. Take your Bible, look at 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel 19, and look at verse 16. 2 Samuel 19, look at verse number 16. You know what? We're going to skip that. I'm going to skip it completely. Jump over to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. Numbers 13. All right, remember, these are the things that Jehoshaphat gave to his judges, to his Levites, to his priests, and to the chief of the fathers. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Please, real quick this morning, I want to get through this morning. Numbers 13, look at verse 17. We've looked at these scriptures before recently. But look at Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land what it is and that the people dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be in that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. Look what he says. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Take your Bible. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 31. So Moses sends those spies in. He tells them, don't be discouraged. Bring out the fruit of the land. tell us whether the land's good, whether it's bad. They got houses, they got strongholds. Give us a report. But go into this order that I'm giving you with courage. Deuteronomy 31, and look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord said unto him, or unto them, so as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, unto the land of them whom he destroyed. So Moses is getting them to remember. They're getting ready to go into the land, the promised land. They're getting ready to cross over Jordan into the promises of God. And Moses is bringing back to their remembrance the things that God has already done to them by taking out Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites. Verse 5. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Now look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That is certain victory. Now, I'm almost finished this morning, but stick with me in these last points. Moses gives a command to these children of Israel to go in and possess the land that God's got for them. He basically says, be strong and of good courage, because Moses knows by the insight and the wisdom that God's given him that as soon as they cross over Jordan and they're there for any amount of time, they're going to start to get fearful and afraid by what they're facing and what they're seeing. So Moses, through the direction of God, tries to give them encouragement before they even begin to face the battles and say, hey, remember what God's already done. Go in the light of that and be strong and of good courage. You see, leadership, Joshua, needs to be a man that's strong and of good courage. Why? Because he affects the hearts of others. Joshua chapter 1. Here we go, getting ready to cross over across the Jordan, over into the promised land. Look at Joshua chapter 1, and look at verse number 6. You want to see how important this thing is, brethren, in your Christian walk? Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6. This is Joshua now talking to the children of Israel. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I'm almost done with this portion this morning, brethren. But what is in that land that God's promised them? An inheritance. What do you have the ability, look, the inheritance of the saints. What do you have the ability now to lay up there in heaven? An inheritance of gold, silver, and precious stones. And just like God's trying to get them into this land to possess their inheritance, it's going to come at a cost. And the cost is that you need to be of good courage and strong in the Lord. Why? Because you can be dismayed to take what God's trying to give you. He says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Look at verse 7. Why would he have to say it again? He just said it in verse 6. Only be thou strong, and this time he says, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Look, what? Why? Why do we have to be very courageous and strong? Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know why? Because it's so easy to turn to the right hand and to the left hand and get off course. Verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is he, is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And if that weren't enough, four times in five verses, we get down to verse number 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou hast commanded him, he shall be put out of the camp. No, these were serious matters. He shall be put to death. Look what he says last. Only be strong and of good courage. You know what Jehoshaphat should have done with Ahab? He should have put his relationship with Ahab to death. But he joined affinity with Ahab, and it affected him. Here we find Joshua giving final commands to the people there. And he says, listen, those that aren't going to do the commandments, those that aren't going to hearken to God's words, get them gone to the point of death. There might be some relationships in our lives this morning that we need to cut off because it's bringing death to our Christian walk. Because we're spending more time with people who don't care about God rather than with the people that do care about God. Think about these things this morning, brethren. It's going to take courage and strength to separate yourself from those that don't want nothing to do with God. But it might be the only way to get them to see their need of God. These principles are found in Scripture. And good leadership must be courageous. Next week, we'll look into how to maintain courage and strength from the Scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray we take heed to it, Lord. I pray we be obedient to it, Lord. And Lord, we just wouldn't let it go in one ear, out the other. Lord, these principles are serious principles, dear God. There's a day where we'll have to stand before you, Lord. It ain't always just going to be like this. Lord, there's a reckoning day, and there's a day of judgment, and there's a day of the judgment seat of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray we take these matters seriously. Lord, that we would examine ourselves, Lord, not examine others, but, Lord, we would examine our own heart and our own life, and, Lord, may we be honest with ourselves to see what we place the emphasis on. And, Lord, if we're placing the emphasis on everything but you, or, Lord, we're just placing a little bit of the emphasis on you, Lord, help us to learn from these things and get to a place to where we'll serve you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, Lord, help us in these matters. Help us to glean from these principles. And we'll give you the glory and honor, praise for it. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you take your take the hymn book this morning, I'd like to close with a hymn this morning. I'd like to close with a hymn this morning. Page number 496. You can stand. We'll sing page 496. You think of my voice is going. Page 496. Faith is, or victory in Jesus. Amen. Page 496.
Yeah.
things.
Lord, we're thankful for, we're thankful to have a God in heaven that loves us,
yes, sir.
Wants to hear from us, that wants to save everyone that's willing to come to him, Lord, and that you're not just going to leave us how we are, Lord, but that you want us to grow in our walk with you, to become more like your son. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that, Lord. Help us to walk with you each day. Lord, help us to pray more, to read the word more, to witness more, to be in church, to be faithful, Lord, in these times. Lord, the world needs to see our light shine before men. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, as we think about this message this morning and talking about leadership, Lord, this world, ever more than I've ever seen in my life, needs leadership, Lord, but not any kind of leadership, but godly leadership. Men and women that are driven by the word of God. Lord, men and women that trust you, and no matter what, they choose you over man, and they go forward serving you, no matter the hardship, no matter the trouble, or even being on the hilltop. Lord, we need men and women that will be leaders in this world. Lord, help each and every one of us here at Ray Street Baptist Church to find what it is that you need from us to be a leader in, and to pray about it, and to trust you and go forward doing your will, Lord, that you might be magnified and glorified through this church. Lord, help us to reach our community in this Lehigh Valley with the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for church this morning, Lord, and just for the word that was preached. Help us to hide it in our hearts and to meditate upon it throughout this week, Lord, and just bring it back up and rethink on it, even maybe go back and listen to the sermon and just remember what we learned here today, Lord, that it might bring us closer to you and have a better walk with you. Lord, we thank you for what you did here in this service this morning, Lord, and we pray, if it be your will, that you bring us back here again tonight to hear your word preach again, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.